I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of time to become a part of time.
Hello, everybody, and welcome again to ET Yoga. Well, we're coming to you live from Brasov, Romania. And I might add that if you're over in Europe and listening to the news, then I'm in touch with my friends and colleagues in the United States. Well, you're sure getting a whole new different slant on the news over here than you do in America. Thought I'd point that out. And you might want to be checking out some of those alternative news sources because, seems like the U.S. is kind of at the bottom of the pit when it comes to what's going on in the world. And at any rate, if you're new to ET Yoga, you'll know that, or you should know, that there'll be lots of information coming your way. And we'll probably be stretching your boundaries a lot this evening. We'll be talking about the moon, some amazing cutting-edge information concerning its effects on humanity, and as well as afterlife. And we'll be also covering some interesting information concerning total immunity from disease, and also probably a touch of reality creation. And for those new listeners to ET Yoga, I highly suggest you get a pen and paper handy because you might want to jot down some ideas or concepts that you can follow up and do some research on after the program. And as usual, I'd like to kick off the program with the Hari Om mantra meditation. It's a short clip done by Sri Swami Satchidananda. And appreciate if the guys in the booth would play that now.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari, Hari, Hari.
Hari Om. Hari Om, Hari 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 Om,
Hari Hari
Hari Om, Hari 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 Om,
Hari Hari
Om, Hari 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 Om,
Hari Hari
Hari Om, Hari 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 Om,
Hari Hari
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om,
Hari Om,
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om,
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Om,
Hari Om, Hari 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 Om,
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Om,
Hari 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 Om,
Hari
Om, Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om,
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om,
Hari Om,
Hari Om, Hari Om,
Hari Om, Hari 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 Om,
Hari Om,
Om Hari Om Hari Om Hari 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 Om
Hari Om
Hari Om Hari Om Hari 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 Om
Hari
Hari Hari Om
Hari Hari Hari
Om Hari 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 Om
Hari 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 Om
Hari 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 Om
Hari
Om Hari 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 Om
Hari Hari 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 Hari
Om Hari Om Hari Om
Hari Hari
Om Hari Om Hari Om
Hari Hari
Om Hari 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 Om
Hari
Om Hari Om Hari Om
Om
Hari 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 Om
Om
Hari Om Hari Om Hari 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 Om
Om Hari Om
Hari Om Hari Hari Om Hari Om Hari Om Hari Hari Om
Yes, that was Sri Swami Satchidananda, founder of the Integral Yoga Institutes. I'd now like to give my usual disclaimer that this program was created in order to share the information about the positive and most effective benefits and insights of ET yoga. It is therefore for educational purposes, and although thought to be accurate, is provided as is, and without warranty of any kind, either expressed or unexpressed or implied. Please note that ET yoga is not a substitute for medical care. Instruction is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. You should always consult with the appropriate health practitioner in case of any medical condition. And for our new listeners, you should also know that I applaud your efforts to distance yourself from mainstream medical as much as humanly possible. And that's with regards to becoming more self-empowered and having more control not only over creating perfect health, but also in curing issues that arise through natural methods. And I might also add to our new listeners out there that sometimes information comes very rapidly on the program. And I know that many of the old-time listeners like to go back and look at the archives so they can take their time to research certain comments or ideas that are presented on the broadcast. And in that endeavor, you can always go to etyoga.com, which is my main website. And on the main page, there's a little sign there that says Radio Archives. And just hit the Radio Archive button, and you'll automatically go into the archives at DBS Radio. And the dates of the programs, about the last 10 shows, will be listed. And at that point in time, when you go into the see like today's program, it would be probably in a day or so for sure that the archive will be reflected there. So it's a good way to really take time and then you can go through and either get an exact quote or replay what's said, and also you can do a lot of your own research, which I really suggest our listeners do. And by the way, I'm also very much interested in feedback from our listening audience. And you can email me at paperfungo, that's paperfungo, at yahoo.ca. That's paperfungo at yahoo.ca. And there's nothing I appreciate more than hearing from our listening audience with respect to program content, as well as hearing about your successes with ideas or concepts or techniques that you heard on the program. And also, I might also put a little plug in here for my latest book, which is ET Yoga 2012 and Beyond, The True Nature of Reality. And you can go to my website, etyoga.com, and it's $9.95. And that's one of those you use PayPal and download it on your computer. So much appreciate the support there. And I might add that anybody out there who's purchased my book, if you've got any kind of questions concerning anything that comes up in that book, feel free to email me, and you can rest assured I will get back to you, and I will get back to you with answering the questions to the best of my ability. Okay, moving on to the heart of the matter tonight. Apparently, a lot of people are really touchy about the subject of the moon. And if you know about the content on this program, content on ET Yoga is about ET information that I consider to be relevant and factual with respect to extraterrestrial communication that's been given to us, and also yoga information that comes from some of the great yoga masters. My personal background comes from Sri Swami Satchidananda and Paramahansa Yogananda, Sri Ramana Maharshi, and way back when, Baba Ram Dass. So that's kind of my yogic slant on things. And what I came to realize after a couple of decades of following the teachings of these great yoga masters was that a lot of the extraterrestrial information was very enhancing. It wasn't in conflict with the yoga teachings, but it was most important, I believe, especially in the areas of self-empowerment and reality creation, as well as lots of factual information that really broadens the scope of knowledge on a large scale. And one of these topics is about the moon. And I'm going to start with a quote from Barbara Mercidiak, who are channeling the Pleiadians. And it's only, you know, a couple of sentences, but it's pretty powerful. And it goes like this: the moon is a very powerful electromagnetic computer. The energy from the moon has been beaming electromagnetic frequencies onto the Earth for eons now, to maintain the two-stranded DNA. The moon's programs have for eons been of great limitation toward human beings. Now, that's just only one little paragraph, but there's a whole lot in that paragraph. Okay, we're talking about maintaining the two-stranded DNA. Yeah, well, I guess there's a lot of people that don't quite get what that means. Basically, we were created to have a 12-stranded DNA in a 12-chakra system. And to my way of thinking, the chakras relate to the 12 strands, the 12 and the 12. And I also like the Pleiadian spinning technique, because it's a very powerful thing to do, is to be spinning the 12 simultaneously. And way back when, we've had our DNA tinkered with to the point where we only functioned with two strands. And we do now hear about science telling us even that there are children being born now with three strands. And very important issue if you want to keep a society functioning in a certain frequency range. And further, the Pleiadians state that the moon is a satellite that was constructed, and it was anchored outside Earth's atmosphere as a mediating and monitoring device, a supercomputer, or eye in the sky. The influence of the moon as a main satellite completely affects all of the Earth. And according to Barbara Marciniak, Saturn emits the main frequency in its rings, which act as a giant antenna. And its frequency is sent to the moon, where its effect is boosted and then sent to the Earth. And Simon Parks also confirms this and says that actually the rings of Saturn are not of ice, as we've been told, but crystals. And to me, this is really, really important information, as you see as we kind of go along here, how many different areas this impacts. I also noticed that David Icke has a YouTube out. It's called the Saturn Moon Matrix. And interestingly enough, he came across this Barbara Marciniak information, and it kind of blew his mind. It's in her book, Earth, The Living Library. So I'd highly suggest, if you're, you know, one of those people that like to read books, that's an excellent one. I typically call Barbara Marciniak's book, Bringers of the Dawn, the sort of basic extraterrestrial text. Like I call Autobiography of a Yogi by Paramahansa Yogananda, the classic yoga text. And interestingly enough, this Saturn moon energy matrix, it also sets up a net and keeps us trapped here actually even after the death experience, and assists in us ending up in Anunnaki recycling centers instead of returning to source. And this is a really, to me, a relevant topic, especially to the type of listeners that would connect with a program like ET Yoga, because this, you know, affects where you're going after the death experience. And of course, you need to know about reincarnation in order to even be caring about that topic. And I've been noticing recently several very credible people, in my opinion, all concur with this fact, Simon Parks being one. If you don't know about Simon, Simon apparently is a mix between one-third reptilian, one-third earth human, and one-third mantis. And he's very good at apparently channeling information from the mantis civilization. And as you know, on ET Yoga, I try not to get political. I'm focus of my programs are about self-empowerment and consciousness and working towards the concept of enlightenment. However, I would highly recommend that you do take a look at his most recent interview, that Simon Parks, P-A-R-K-E-S, and his interview at Project Camelot. It'll probably enlighten you a lot as far as current events. And this whole concept of interfering with the reincarnation process, there's been a technique that's sort of been implanted into the human knowledge since we've been very little, and that's that we've always been taught to look towards the light after the death experience. And apparently this is one of the traps the Anunnaki have set up, and even with holographic pictures of either Jesus or different concepts that people believe in or have beliefs in, and then assisting them off to the Anunnaki recycling instead of going back to source energy. And according to Simon Parks and Alex Collier, this system is weakening a bit. Simon says that even some strong souls can actually get through to source now because there are holes in the, in this energy net that's around the earth. And one of the ways that he suggests that people prepare for that to be successful in returning to source after the death experience is to actually intend when you go to sleep that you, you know, should you die, that you return to source energy. And that by programming this into the mind, because after the death experience, the connection between body and mind is not so strong, that by programming this and practicing this routine, you would have a higher chance of actually returning to source and to also be more conscious, aware that there's a lot of tricks being played. And I think this is really important to our listeners. And I would highly, highly suggest that you do some research on your own into this topic. As well, according to Barbara Marciniak, channeling the Pleiadians, the cross is a symbol of the crossing planet, which is the Anunnaki home planet. And when priests wave their cross over your body during the last rites, they are actually closing down your chakras so that your next stop is an Anunnaki recycling chamber. Well, that's another big mouthful. Because, first of all, Another very, very important factor. And if you're listening to Barbara Marciniak and Pleiadian information, it will tell you that all religions were Anunnaki created, and that basically Sunday meetings are basically club meetings of the Anunnaki, unwittingly having millions of participants. A subject that I would also highly suggest that you check out. And further, according to David Icke, this, what he calls a satanic frequency, and by the way, Saturn, Satan, and Anu, all in the letters of Saturn, he states is reflective of its energy and its symbolism. And Anu, which permeates our planet. And according to his findings, this frequency creates a fake reality in which they feed off the energy of fear and keep humanity as slaves and imprisoned. And we're going to get into some more detail concerning that aspect as we view some other sources that also concur with this information. And one of the sources I'm using is Bashar. And if you're not familiar with Bashar, his information can be found at www.bashar.org. Bashar.org. And he's an Esasani channeled by Daryl Anka. And actually, I had the privilege of working with Daryl on a committee that was formulated to actually create the Extraterrestrial Open Contact Act. And I've been studying a lot of Bashar material for probably a couple decades now, and find him to be highly accurate. And Bashar states, with respect to the moon, and this was done in your past approximately 11,000 of your years ago, and before that time, there was no moon. And before that time, there are records of there being no light in the darkness from the people that lived therein. And until that time, there was then the growth that led to the chaos. And from that time, out of darkness and chaos, the light in the darkness that brings you back into reflection and marriage of your male and female and all your polarities within yourself, so that you can once again feel the reflective light and not going into the chaos this time around. And it was so that it was. And this is the story of the engine of ascension that you call the moon. Your scientists are beginning to realize that there are certain artificialities about the moon. Not that it is in and of itself an artificial body, but that it is a natural one converted artificially for certain purposes that are yet unknown to the majority of your planet. But many of your scientists are beginning to realize that it is not there by nature, but by purpose, intended for the rebalancing of the cycles on your planet. Though this is an understanding that they have yet to know, but when the chambers shall be open in the pyramids and in the Sphinx upon your planet in the years to come, in your near future, this will be understood. And as you also discover, when you move out to the planets in space, the same structures on your moon and the same structures on your Mars, you will understand your history and know your present and see your future. There are electromagnetic implants within the body of the moon, deep within. They are discovered and registered on your instrumentation as what you have referred to as MASCONS. That's MASCONS. massive concentrations deep within the body of the moon, about what you would call 20 miles below the surface, that are large disc-like objects that are responsible for creating a relocation of the gravitational matrix and moving the moon to its present location and regulating its orbit. This would explain the irregularities or perturbances in the moon's motion, which our scientists are beginning to realize, but which the control system probably wishes to keep under wraps. Some researchers have interpreted the anomalies of the moon to mean that it must be hollow, but according to Bashar, it is not hollow. There are underground bases there. It has some large cavern areas in it. It is not completely hollow, but there are artificially constructed engineering devices within it. The underground bases are inhabited by different extraterrestrial species now and then, including the Esasani and the Yael. Some ancient Anunnaki bases also exist that are used by various beings coming and going now and then. Bashar says that the moon was originally smaller than the Earth when the Earth's energy was in another density. So in the fall, which he calls the autumn of 2016, around September equinox, which is the 21st to the 24th of September, according to Bashar, everything will change. If the major change can be pinned down to a single day, the numerology would seem to favor the actual day of that year's autumn equinox, the 22nd of September, 2016. Since the announcement, there will be three total lunar eclipses on the dates 2014-10-08, 2015-04-04, and 2015-09-28. One would think if these interstellar energy games are real, that this event would be worth marking as a significant event on human and Earth history. The idea for you to understand that there are an infinite number of parallel versions of Earth. You're shifting between them all the time. The idea of what we are saying is representative of the convergence of a number of different parallel probabilities to an extent that we can see that it will be the seeds and the beginning of vast and different kinds of changes as you will experience it in your shifting through different versions of parallel Earths. That's all we are allowed to say at this time. It will manifest itself in a variety of ways, some of which will not be immediately evident, some which will. But there is such an overlap, such a crossing of so many probabilities for change at that time, that it is inevitable that many things will change in vast ways. You will know then when they occur, and you will not know some of them when they occur until later. But it will be a demarcation point. Just keep living your life as best you can. Stay in the vibration of your highest passion, and whatever it is that will be experienced as a change will always and only give you a beneficial result. So I think that's really not only informative news, but also an attitude to take about this potential change. I'm going to also kind of support that information from some information according to Adranus. And we can understand the moon as a monitoring station, as an observatory, and as a laboratory, and as somewhat of an extraterrestrial private property station. It is monitoring humanity as part of the 22 different genetic program experiments that are taking place. It is a multi-civilization-based monitoring station. It's a satellite. It's a spacecraft. It is older than your planet. It is not originally from your own star system. It has been brought here. However, what is happening in regards to the function of the moon is that it is a catalyst pertaining to your own quarantine, pertaining to certain waves, certain frequencies that are being emitted to literally create a type of restraining bolt. The tendency in the dark side of the moon is to produce frequencies that create a veil. Simply because without the moon, all of you would literally be functioning as manifestation gods. You would literally have all the capability necessary to become instantaneous manifestors. You would literally be able to function as godlike beings. There will be a time when your moon will no longer be here. And they give the analogy of giving a child a gun to play with, and that they're kind of making the point that the frequency control in the long run is a useful restraint. But it's also interesting to note that, okay, you got the rings of Saturn that are made of crystal. You've got a frequency being sent. And according to Simon Parks, this booster station that boosts the energy from the moon to the earth is now not operational just in recent time because according to him, there are certain beings that are on the planet that they wish to have access to be able to leave. But I think the point of fact here is that the moon's way more influential on our life than we've ever thought it to be. And I did a little bit of research as well in ancient history, and in ancient writings and traditions, one can find proof of a time when the moon did not exist. Democritus and Anaxagoras, and by the way, Anaxagoras was the teacher of Socrates, mentions that there was a time when no moon could be seen in the night skies. And in describing the history of the Greek region of Arcadia, Aristotle writes that the Pelasgians lived in the area since very old times and at a time when the moon did not exist. Evidence has also been found in other parts of the world, in Bolivia, symbols on the wall in the courtyard at Calasasaraya, built 11,000 BC, provides evidence that the moon came into existence around the earth at a specific moment in time, thousands of years ago, long before mainstream historians refer to as recorded history. And the oral traditions of Colombian Indians of the Bogota Highlands on the eastern Cordilleras of Colombia refer to a time before the moon. And also, according to African legends of the Zulu, and that's from Credo Mutwa, the moon was brought hundreds of generations ago by two brothers of alien form. And the moon's obviously playing a very important role in our current situation. And I might add that in my reality, the landing in 1969 on the moon was a complete hoax produced by Stanley Kubrick. And I recently read a letter that he left about 15 years after his death where he admits that. And you might want to do some research there. In my opinion, it's not that we didn't go to the moon. It's just that we didn't use that kind of technology. That was just a dog and pony show for the public to keep some of the secret programs secret. And I might also add that there's a guy named Corey Good connected with David Wilcock. They've been doing some interesting programs. Corey apparently was a member of the Secret Space Program. According to his information, actually, the Nazis landed on the moon in 1937 and built a base there. And I might also add that there's been lots of recent evidence that, Germany might have lost the war, but I don't know that the Nazis did. Apparently, there was a place called New Berlin that was created in the Antarctic, an interesting topic to explore. And actually, U.S. Admiral Byrd came into conflict with some of this UFO technology years later, and that's pretty much been kept a secret as well. And in my reality, Hitler didn't die at the end of World War II either. So lots of interesting stuff that could be food for thought for further research. I'd now like to jump onto this topic of total immunity from disease, because getting lots of information from listeners about my going into some more detail about this concept. And I'd like to start off by talking about an article. It's an interview actually done with Dronvalo Melchizedek by Diane Cooper. And in the article, it was said that about, this would be about 15 years ago in the U.S., there was a baby born with AIDS, and they tested him at birth and at 6 months, and he tested positive for AIDS, and they tested him a year later, and he still tested positive. Then they didn't test him again until he was six, and what was amazing is that this test showed that he was completely AIDS-free. In fact, there was no trace whatever that he ever had AIDS or HIV. And he was taken to UCLA to see what's going on, and those tests showed that he didn't have normal human DNA. In the human DNA, we have four nucleic acids that combine in sets of three, producing 64 different patterns that are called codons. And human DNA all over the world always has 20 of these codons turned on, and the rest of them are turned off, except for three, which are the stop and start codes, much like a computer. Science always assumed that the ones that were turned off were old programs from our past. Well, this boy had 24 codons turned on, four more than any other human being. Then they tested this kid to see how strong his immune system was. And they took a very lethal dose of AIDS in a petri dish and mixed it with some of his cells, and his cells remained completely unaffected. And they kept raising the lethalness of the composition and finally went up to 3,000 times more than what was necessary to infect a human being, and his cells stayed completely disease-free. And then they started testing his blood with other things like cancer and discovered that this kid was immune to everything. And then they found another kid with these codons turned on, and then another and another. So, you know, it's just incredible, this story, and at least it's based in science. And it's mostly in children, but now they're finding adults with it too, just like the 100th monkey effect. And so now all kinds of people are being affected by it, and it's spreading. And I think the interesting point about this is that this is all, you know, this is all based in scientific fact. And I presented this on a previous program on ET Yoga, and also said that, well, you know, if these kids manifested this, they're manifesting this DNA, obviously they know which codons they are. And if those codons are activated, then people become disease-free. Of course, I can see why they wouldn't want to present that, because then the medical establishment would all of a sudden kind of lose all of its profit base. But if you really, really get into the subject a little bit, why it would be, in theory, okay, possible for you to go into your belief systems and ask for your body to manifest, turn on those four codons that makes you completely immune to disease. So it's not like this is pie in the sky or that like this concept is totally, you know, impossible. I mean, to my way of thinking, anything you can think of can be possible. You're only limited by your own beliefs. And I'm not going to go into a dissertation on the power of belief or even the placebo now, but our longtime listeners to ET Yoga will know that it's your thoughts, your beliefs, your definitions, and your emotions that create your experience and external reality. And there are no limitations other than what you believe there to be. So the bottom line is that yes, total immunity from disease is possible. And the latest Russian research from Gerezhev indicates that your DNA actually understands verbal language. And your DNA is affected by verbal language. So we have, again, further proof that you can actually affect your own DNA. And according to Grunvalo, if you know about your light body and you know how psychic energy works, and if you understand the connection of the subconscious to all life on this planet, then you can go in and ask your subconscious. Your subconscious knows exactly which codons those kids have changed. And if you ask for those things to happen through your light body and in the presence of God, it should occur. It also requires dropping polarity, no longer thinking in terms of good or bad, but seeing the wholeness and completion and perfection of life. It is a very definite mind, emotional, and body response. The body response is the one where your body simply does not acknowledge good or bad, but sees that there is a higher purpose behind it all. We all know this stuff. Everyone from Jesus to Krishna to Sai Baba has been talking about this for a long time, but this is the first I'm aware of where something is actually changing in the outer environment. People's DNA is actually changing. And there are many of us who have actually talked about this, but none of this has been seen by science. Now it has been seen and it has been documented. And, you know, also we have another interesting science happening with the Qigong. Qigong is another one of these ancient healing procedures, technologies, if you like, that were kept secret for thousands of years. They're just now coming out. And we know that there was the Beijing Qigong Center that over a 10-year period had an 85% cure rate with all types of diseases. And by the way, they treat them all the same. They have the same practices that everybody uses, no matter what it is that's your issue. And they use no pharmaceutical medicines and no operations. So, you know, the cat's out of the bag on that one, too, except that not that many people know about it. And according to Grunvalo, I believe that all of us have the choice to follow this particular pattern that the children set up, and it is said that the children will lead the way. And if we wish to and trust these children, as I do, one of the side effects is the immunity to disease. And I wanted to elaborate on some of the comments I made on previous shows with respect to this possibility. And certainly we are moving in that direction. And to kind of move on to a little bit of reality creation from Merlin the Magician and Merlin's message, you're bound for glory, infinite beings, when you cast a wondrous spell. You have just summoned the power of all that is to bring about the manifestation of your desires. A spell is simple. Simply place the energy of love in light. You broadcast a future event as you imagine it into being. Albert Einstein realized this when he said that imagination is more important than knowledge. The knowledge of what is or has been can shift. the past has nothing to do with your future unless you continue to create more of it in the now. Now is all there is. Be consciously present in each new moment. Be the cause of that which you want, because what you want is a reflection of who you are. See yourself as a gourmet chef concocting magical potions. If the recipe doesn't please you, do you curse the recipe? Or do you play with it until you get it just right? You add different ingredients until the potion is just right. If you are steeped in the stew of the current view, create something new. If you are noticing that something is not in view, turn now to thoughts that bring it to you. Spells are binding contracts of creation, unless you break the contract by offering thoughts of a contrary nature. And if you stray from the spell and see that all is not well, simply recast the spell. It only spells relief from resistance. It spells out what lies before you. And she talks about your magic wand. Reawaken to the remembrance of who you are, for you are wondrous wizards and master magicians. By the way, Bashar talks about imagination as I Magi Nation, or nation of magicians, complete with invisible magic wands. If you don't think you own a wand, I invite you to play along. Your wand vibrates with the feelings behind your thoughts and words, and it has great magnetic power. The tip of your wand projects a beam of light that magnifies the level of attraction wherever you point it. Your magic wand is very powerful, creators. The more you wave your wand at something, the brighter this light beam glows. Consciously using your wand increases your power as a wizard. Pay attention to where you are pointing it, because there is only attraction and addition of all things at which you point your wand, wanted or not. You may be pointing your wand at the exact opposite of what you want. That can make you irritated, frustrated, mad, and sad, and it does. You have done this so much that it feels normal. If something does not serve you, why serve it to yourself? Here is the master magician's greatest secret. It is the alchemy of the mind that transmutes all things to gold. If an aspect of your physical experience is less than golden, wave your wand towards what glimmers and shine your light on that. Magicians bring the invisible desire to the visible dimension and cause that which is undesirable to vanish. Remember your full potential for infinite power. As master magicians, you continually turn non-physical energy into physical form. Your pointed wand is your point of view, a projection of thought. What you project within will reflect back to you on the screen called life. Pay attention to what you attend to, for this is your preview of coming attractions. Choose only what you desire and watch magic transpire. Your magnetic wand is very powerful. Pay attention to where you are pointing it, because there is only attraction and addition of all things at which you point your wand. And I would suggest, if you're interested in that kind of information, you can go to Creative Camelot Club. And that was Merlin the Magician from the book Merlin's Message. And that would be Merlin the Magician. At this point in time, I'd certainly like to wish my listening audience the best towards your attainment of full consciousness, perfect health, and abundance. And I'd now like to share with you a yogic technique that comes from Sri Ramana Maharshi. It's called the Vichara, and otherwise known as the Who Am I technique. There's really not a right or wrong way to do this. I think the way to do it is the way that works for you. But as a general guideline, I'd suggest you get into the highest place that you know how to get to by any means or method. And a lot of people would maybe like to do their asanas first and then some pranayams, yogic breathings, and then a meditation. Could even use the japa yoga at the beginning of the ET Yoga show, the Hari Om mantra, or a method of your choice. And once you're in the highest place that you know how to get to, then focus all of your consciousness in your third eye or ajna center and become that spot. The more totally you become that spot, the more effective this technique can be. And once you become that spot, you ask the question, who am I? And I would do that, you know, I do it like maybe 20 times. You can do it more, you can do it less, you can do it fast, you can do it slow, whatever works for you. You'll get a feeling. And then make sure you focus your total consciousness on that spot and become that spot. And then you would state the following. I am not my body. I am not my internal organs. I am not my thoughts. I am not this spot. What spot?
I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of all